Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Silver and Black Today on this Friday, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them at salmonash.com. because you deserve what's right. If you find yourself in the need, give our friends Sam and Ash a call. So I want to give thanks to our sponsors, including the Laborers Local 872, my good friend Tommy White, Eddie Ramirez over there. Thanks to those guys. They helped build the stadium, get the Raiders to Las Vegas, and they're proud sponsors here, as well as attorney Michael Triano, who's coming up later. We're going to talk to him about some interesting stuff. But I do want to mention, now, Q, you know, there's so many great things going on, charities going on. One of the biggest Raider fans in all of Las Vegas, his name is Vince De La Cruz. Vince is the manager over here at Grimaldi's Pizza off of Rainbow, not too far from the station. And he sent me a note. He does a great job with Vegas Wish, which is a great organization here in town that gets people out to games when we have games and other wishes granted. They're having a onesie movie night at McKee Ranch this Sunday, and they're taking blanket donations for the Las Vegas Rescue Mission. And this is a big one because this time of the year, when the temperature dips here in Las Vegas, you know, all those men and women and kids, by the way, lots of kids that are out on the street that live home, that are homeless, they don't have blankets. It's tough right for them to keep warm. And so what Vegas Wish is doing is the onesie movie night at McKee Ranch, and they're taking blanket donations for the Las Vegas Rescue Mission from 4 to 8 p.m. So they're in desperate need because the summer went so long and it kind of got away. And then, of course, COVID, everybody's staying home. A lot of donations and stuff are down throughout the valley, and we want to make sure you get out there. So if you can, even if you're not going to stay for the movie night and you don't have a onesie to wear.
Do you have a onesie? I bet you do.
I do not. No.
I bet you do.
No way, man.
This is why I say that. It's not being disrespectful. I picture you as a guy who would go like all out. And you know, you've mentioned your five kids before, mm-hmm. and I know that you're a really good family man. I could picture probably the youngest one saying, "Dad, let's have a movie night out back," and you put up a big screen and you put up a projector,
yes.
and then you go out there with and you make a bonfire and you would have a onesie on. I could just picture you taking one for the team and doing it for the sake of the family.
Q, you hurt me, Q. You hurt me.
No, I think that's a good thing. I wouldn't do it, but I think you would.
No, I would not wear a onesie. I do the movie thing you described, I absolutely do. I put up a big screen in the backyard.
See?
I call it the Oh, we used to have a pool. I used to call it the dive-in movie.
There you go. See, I was on. I knew what I was talking about.
But now it's just kind of like the backyard movie. I do that, especially during the summer when it's hot out. But and then especially this year because you couldn't go to the movies.
Right.
So we did a lot of that. But
see,
no onesies.
I had your back.
The closest thing that I have to a onesie, and I will wear it in the studio.
Here's the
one
truth.
Day.
Here it goes. No. Here's the truth.
I have a sweatsuit. Right. Like it's not even a sweatsuit. It's kind of like sweatpants and a hoodie. That someone bought for me as a gift that looks like the Elvis jumpsuit from the 70s, like the Vegas days. But I've never had the guts to actually wear it out anywhere. I'm like, I don't know, but I'll do it one day. I'll do it one day. But I don't have
one. I think you should do it next week.
That's the closest when you're here? No. That's the close. By the way, yeah, but big news. Q's going to be in the studio. So Ruben knows where we are. He might come by and say hi to you.
That's what's up.
There you go. But we'll have more on that, I'm sure,
we'll
next
be chilling
week when you tell us what you're up to. But yeah, so make sure you get, if you can, McKee Ranch, Sunday, 4 to 8 p.m., blanket donations. People need that. Las Vegas Rescue Mission, good stuff. Okay, back to Raider football now, and we bring in our good buddy Chris Matthews from 8 News Now, also hosts the Raiders pregame live show every Sunday morning on Channel 8. Don't want to miss that. That is must-watch television. Chris, how you doing on this Friday, man?
I'm doing great. Excited about the game this weekend. Gonna be like, let me throw a quick plug, a shameless plug, if
yes,
you don't mind.
Yes.
Because of the Masters golf tournament, we had to move Raiders pregame live from Sunday morning. So we're going to air it tomorrow live at 4:30.
Oh, okay.
So you know, just if you're around and you have a chance to watch, that's where it's going to be tomorrow.
programming nice. Note, 4:30 p.m. tomorrow on 8 News Now, you can watch the Raiders live pregame show, which is still live, just not before the game.
Yeah, way pregame. Pregame.
Well, Chris, talk to me a little bit. We've been asking all our guests today, because once we get to this Denver Bronco game, we're past the midseason point. But the midseason assessment, from your perspective, how has this season gone in relation to what you thought it would have been prior to the year getting kicked off?
Well, I think it's I would have to say that most people probably think it's better than they even anticipated. To have 5 wins and probably the toughest first, the toughest first half, right? I mean, at this first half is a lot tougher than that second half, it appears, just looking at the teams. So I would think if you have 5 wins at the midway point, people are probably, that might be 2 wins more than I thought they'd have. And that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm pleasantly surprised. I think it's great, to beat the teams that you beat and be at the midway point with 5 wins. I think it's terrific, actually.
Let me ask you about the city in general. I mean, obviously, it's so crazy with COVID-19, obviously. The money's not rolling in. There's not as many visitors as normal. But just for the expectations of the Raiders, their first season there in Las Vegas and only halfway through it, just what has the vibe been that you picked up from the general public?
Yeah, I think it's slow. That's a good question. I think it's kind of slowly coming around. People are catching up. I mean, it's a big deal to us, obviously, at Channel 8. So we're doing stories every single day and now even in the 4, 5, 6, and 11. So,
nice.
And I may be a little bit biased and just because I'm covering them so much, but I just think people are talking about them more. At church you hear more, at the grocery store you hear more, you see some more license plates, you see more jerseys around town, you see some flags around town. I think it would have been totally different had there been fans and the excitement. We're getting ready for the game and we're going to go to the game and who wants to go and all the businesses talking about the game because we're bringing clients. It would have been a totally different atmosphere here in Vegas. But having said that, I still think the Raiders are generating some excitement and it'll be crazy once it does happen with fans. That Raider Nation will just be nuts. So, in fact, it was interesting because John Gruden last week was asked about that. I think it was last week where he was asked about, do you really even get a sense of what's going on out in the community? He said, no, because we're so tied up. We can't go anywhere. We're here. We're locked down. The COVID won't allow us to go out and do things. You saw what happened when Waller had his foundation charity event out there, and that was kind of like the first big event. And we were there, actually, and they got in trouble for not wearing masks and so forth. So you can't even really go out and enjoy Las Vegas and all the things that it has to offer. But having said all that, I do think there's a little bit more excitement with the team as it continues to roll along here, and especially because they're winning. That's exciting news. In fact, before I came in, I was thinking, these big games, just, you have to pinch me each week when I think of the NFL in Las Vegas. And it's like especially this week, these two hated rivals, it's like a big prize fight. Who's going to knock the other guy down? Who's going to get off the canvas? This is the boxing capital of the world, but these big NFL matchups are so fun. So that's kind of what I was kind of equating it to today, thinking, this is kind of like a big prize fight. Who's going to take the punches? Who's going to fall to the turf? Who's going to get back up off the canvas? So it's I'm excited. I get excited about talking about the NFL here because having been here for a quarter of a century, Scott, to have an NFL franchise, nobody in a million years would have thought that.
Yeah, and it's strange. And I know I think every time I see you in the press box, we say the same thing, which is like, can you believe this is actually here? I mean, it's still, and again, even with this strange year and no fans in the stands, it's just so surreal to think of that, because all of those crazy cockamamie things we heard over the years here, Chris, about this NBA team coming here and this team coming there and this person wanting to build a stadium there. And of course, they never came to fruition. But then this and the Raiders obviously made it happen. Again, we're talking to Chris Matthews from 8 News Now, hosts the Raiders pregame live show, which you can see this week, tomorrow on Saturday due to golf at 4:30 p.m. live on Channel 8. And Chris, we look at this Broncos game. You talked about it. The heated rivalry, the AFC West, two old school AFL teams going at each other here in Las Vegas with a lot on the line. When you look at this game, I think the matchup really, despite the Raiders' injuries, still favors them. What kind of game are you looking for from this Raider offense against this banged up and kind of thin Broncos defense?
Yeah, you mentioned a banged-up defense. I think I almost can envision the same sort of game that the Atlanta Falcons had against this team where Derek Carr just lights them up. They got so many weapons. You know, like in any sport, it seems like if you can create mismatches, you have a huge advantage, whether it's basketball or just whatever, in football. If you can create those mismatches, I think you have a big chance. And I think with the Raiders' offense, with the running backs and Devontae Booker now getting involved, scoring his first touchdown last week and kind of excited with his own team, and then obviously Jacobs, but all those other mismatches on offense, Darren Waller. I mean, that guy's unbelievable. We talked about him last year as a big bright star, even a brighter star this year. Those mismatches, I think, really favor the Raiders. So I can see them almost doing what the Falcons did last week, the Raiders doing this week. And, you know, you mentioned that banged-up line. Is it Shelby Harris? He's going to be out, the COVID thing.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of opportunities here for the Raiders to really play well and put up some big points.
You mentioned Devontae Booker. Obviously, he was a former Denver Bronco. He's been a guy that surprised the mess out of me. I didn't even think he was going to make it out of training camp, to be honest with you. But he's been doing some good things. You mentioned getting into the end zone. How surprised have you been by the performance of Booker, or have you been surprised?
Probably like you, Q. Kind of thought that, hey, we'll see if he makes the team. And then, you know, slowly getting a few more snaps. And then it seems like the last couple of games, it's like, oh, okay, this guy's making an impact right here. And then the season high 68 yards, you mentioned the touchdown. And then, you know, see those big linemen out in front blocking last week was so impressive. And Devontae skirting down the sideline and a lot of cool plays. I think he actually is making a resurgence. I'm going to make something of myself here. And even though he's so quiet, yesterday he was talking to the media. It's no big deal. We're taking it one at a time. But you know deep down he would love to do well in this game Sunday.
Yeah, you want to always stick it to your old team. That's never a question. Oh, before I let you go, Chris, I wanted to ask you, too, because you were out at the UNLV game, right, at Allegiant?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. How was that? So you had a couple thousand fans in there. Did you notice the difference?
You know what? You kind of, even though it's just a pittance of a number, you kind of still do. You know, they're cheering. You hear, I kind of walked around, too, and sat. I moved out of the press box and went down. I kind of wanted to just kind of get a feel for the, you know, the fans down the stands. So I sat at a few different locations in Allegiant, and I first sat by some Rebel fans, and they were, you know, screaming for the Rebels and go. And I said, okay, I'm going to walk over to the other side and kind of sit and just kind of get a different view because I'd never really even been down on that concourse level watching a game. And I moved over towards some of the Fresno State Bulldog fans and get it. So you can kind of, I mean, even though it's not a big, loud, crazy atmosphere, yeah, at least there's some screaming and a little bit of atmosphere in there. And then it kind of makes you realize, wow, once the thing's full of 65,000, it's crazy. Well, you know, you think about this too. Correct me if I'm wrong, the home field advantage in the NFL, I think, is only like 49%. So home teams aren't even winning 50% so far this year. And I think that has a lot to do with just the atmosphere. And you try to get fired up as a player, but really, can you when there's no one there and you're hearing, across the street? In fact, remember this, Scott, that game against the Saints when we were way up top and you could actually hear the Saints, defense, you know, they were like a high school cheer. And it's crazy how you can hear everything. So I bet it was still kind of fun, though, with a little bit of a crowd in there.
It was. Chris Matthews from 8 News Now covers the Raiders, of course, and hosts the Raiders pregame live show, which you can watch tomorrow, usually on Sunday mornings at 8.
Yeah.
Hey, ask him
usually
if we can.
Sunday mornings at 8, but yes, because of the Masters, the major of all majors bumps us off the Sunday morning schedule.
And Chris, I think Q wants to, like, photobomb you.
No.
Is that
I want to see if me and Scott could come in studio next Sunday, join you on the pregame show.
There you go.
Hey, if you're in town, let's do it.
Yeah.
Done.
He'll be here.
I'll have my haircut, too.
Oh.
Looking good.
See, Q, you're still about 7 years younger than me, so your hair, you have to cut a lot less of them as you get older.
Hey, at least he has hair.
Exactly.
My hair grows well, man.
That's good. All right, Chris. Well, then we will talk to you again. We appreciate you being here, man. We'll see you at the game on Sunday.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great show.
All right, there you go.
Chris Matthews. You're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take, Scott.
There you go, man.
I take shots all the time. I'm like Steph Curry. I've never seen a shot I didn't like.
You're pulling up from half court. It don't matter, right?
Absolutely.
That's
With confidence.
You got to. You got to try. I was just telling somebody this the other day about that. Oh, you know what it was? I requested, and I'll keep it to myself because I want to reserve privacy, but I was asking someone with the Raiders for access to a certain player.
Okay.
And I was told that was going to be very difficult, and I said that. I said, hey, you remember what Michael Jordan said?
You're guaranteed to miss the shot you don't. I live my life by that.
Yes. Yes. So you got to take it. You got to take it.
The worst they can say
is no. Right. And you know what? And if they say no, it's a memory. It's gone. You move on to the next shot. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
That's right.
So there you go. I got us a spot on the pregame show.
All right. You booked us on a show. I love it.
Hey, man, I could have been selfish and just gone for myself.
Nah.
But I was looking out for you, bro.
You got it. You got it. You're there.
Tyro.
Chris is my man. He's been here forever. He's a great dude.
Cool.
Really good guy. You'll enjoy meeting him. All right. They have a good team over there, too, Channel 8. A lot
nice.
Of good folks here, but you'll get to meet all of them now when you come out, so that'll be great. Okay,
perfect.
we're gonna take a break. It's that time of the day where we get set. You get in. You get a drink, maybe even a little snack, and you get ready for the Q-tip because it's coming up after this break. Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Doing some plucking there. Silver and Black today, where the hosts, both of us, do not wear onesies.
No. You got something close to a onesie.
See,
when I say that, I said that I figured that you would just say, hey, my kids want me to do it. I'll do it for them. Because you seem like you'd be a very willing participant. Where me,
yeah.
I don't even hang up Christmas lights.
Oh, wow. So now that I do. We're a big Christmas family. But I also, my favorite holiday, actually, Thanksgiving.
Too much family comes over. I'm trying to get rid of them. I'm not trying to keep them coming in.
Yeah, I understand. But I love Thanksgiving. The problem with Thanksgiving is it goes by so quickly. Because to me, it's a combination of chillaxing, food, and football. Right. So like to me, those are three things. It's great to hang out, get to relax.
Right.
Although, like you're saying, if you have a ton of family over, you don't get to relax.
Is there such thing? Somebody told me yesterday that. When you eat Thanksgiving dinner and you get all full and you know sleepy and everything,
yeah,
that's because the turkey has something in it called tripping.
Tryptophan.
Tryptophan. That's what they said.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It is. It's like a hormone in the turkey, and it makes you tired. But also, what they've said though is that that's not actually what makes you the most tired. It's just overeating.
Well, yeah, that's the obvious.
So
that's
two.
A tryptophan is real?
Yeah, it's real.
Oh, okay.
It's real.
I learned something.
Yeah, there's some radio hosts who take it on the air, and you can tell when you listen to them.
Wow. Shots fired.
Human human sleeping pills.
Wow, that's funny.
Not you, no, man. You got energy.
No,
you
not
kidding
at
me?
All.
No way. All right, well, it's that time of the day. Are you doing high school football today, too, or no?
No. Unfortunately, my game got canceled.
Oh,
so,
COVID?
You know how that goes. Yep.
Ah, dang it. All right. Well, it's that time of the day when we hand over the mics and we let Q get on his soapbox. He's usually dead on. I'd say 99.9%. I don't think I've ever disagreed with one of your Q-tips, as a matter of fact. But that's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
I just want to talk about the opportunity that the Raiders have. They've played 8 games so far this 2020 season. They've heard all week long how they're 5-3. We just talked to Chris, and he was saying that, hey, you know, surprised by some of the games that they were able to win and sitting at 5-3 after 8 games. And, you know, we've been talking about it quite a bit. They're starting to get some press. You know, they're starting to get the national conversation that Raider Nation always wants them to have. They're hearing their names. They're hearing how well Derek Carr is playing, how well the offensive line is doing, even with injuries. They're hearing that. Now it's their opportunity to go and take that next step. You know, they have a game coming up this week, obviously, against the Broncos, who are not as good of a team as the Raiders are. There's just no doubt about it. But we also know what the NFL's like. It's one of those leagues where any team can win on any given day. So now you want to see and you want to learn kind of a little something about this team. Can they block out that outside noise? Can they truly focus on one game at a time? Or is there somebody that might be peeking a little around the corner and looking at that Kansas City game coming up next week thinking, wow, this could be one of those big time games. We could be on a 3-game winning streak and, you know, have an opportunity to really make a move in the division. Or are they laser focused, which is what they need to be? They need to be laser focused on the task at hand, which is the Denver Broncos. Mo Moten brought that up a little earlier when we were talking to him. You know, hey, you cannot look ahead. We can do it. We could talk about it. We could say that's a dub, that's a dub, that's an L, whatever. That's what we do. You know, we could talk about pretty much anything. But these players, these coaches, they've got to be laser focused on what the task at hand is. And that's just improving to 6-3. That's improving to 1-0 every single week. They have 8 games left for sure. Do they want to play a 9th game? Do they want to potentially play a 10th game? It is up to them. It starts this week. You got 8 games. You go 5-3 in the back 8. You're going to the playoffs. It's just that simple. You don't have to worry about Cleveland losing. You don't have to worry about the Colts losing. You don't have to worry about a lot of teams losing. All you have to do is handle your business. They've set themselves up to be in their own position, to take care of their own selves and be the drivers of their ship, but they've got to go out there and handle their business. And it starts this Sunday against the Broncos, not the Chiefs, the Broncos. And that's it. Are you gone? Are you there? Am I lost? Am I gone? I don't think I'm on. I think I lost him. All right. Anybody? I guess I lost him.
Q, sorry, man. We had an issue over here. You were there. You were there. I was not here. I was not.
I'm glad I didn't say nothing I wasn't supposed to say.
No,
I've been up here questioning. The wife was looking at me like I was talking to strangers.
We just wanted to give everybody a pause to think through your words because they were so profound. That's wow. All.
I almost walked away. I was about to say, I guess I'll talk to them on Monday.
We'll talk to you Monday. No, sorry for that, folks. But you know what, Q? No, I applauded. I was applauding, and then I realized the mic wasn't on because I wasn't hearing it through my earphones and my monitor. But we got it. All right. Okay, good. But no, you're absolutely right. In fact, I did a hit today with my good friend Carrington Harrison in Kansas City, right? Because even though that's 2 weeks away, they just wanted to get a sense for the Raiders because it is a divisional game coming up. And he asked me, he said, how good is this Raiders team? And I said, they're pretty dang good if you think about what happened through the first half. But I said, it's a win now league. It's a win every week league. And they were asking if I thought it was a trap game for the Raiders. And I told them, in this case, I did not believe it was. I said, because I think the Raiders, they haven't experienced those big wins yet. They haven't strung them together. Yes, they beat the Browns. Yes, they beat the Chargers. But they're coming home, and it's a divisional game, and they know they have to win it. And to me, I think they understand that. I don't think they're looking towards the Chiefs. I don't think this team has that kind of swagger yet to say, well, yeah, we can't wait to face the Chiefs. Certainly, that's a big game, but you have to win against the Broncos first. And that's the thing. I told them, I said, look, I don't think the Broncos will beat the Raiders. I just don't see it.
Right.
But I think
I don't either. I think the Raiders could beat themselves and allow the Broncos to win.
Yes.
But I don't think the Broncos will beat the Raiders.
No, that's exactly what I said. I said the only people who beat the Raiders Sunday will be the Raiders.
Yep.
And I said they've done that at home. They did that against the Bills. And the Buccaneers a little bit, but at least earlier on. But the Bills, for sure, they should if they didn't beat themselves in that game, they could be sitting right now at 6-2 instead. So to me, that's it. And I still sense in Kansas City they don't think that the Raiders are for real. So
no, they don't. Like Kansas City, they think that the only team that matters is Kansas City.
Correct. And I get that. You just won the Super Bowl. You just won the Super Bowl. I get that. And it is. I mean, they hate the Raiders. The Raiders hate them. So right. So we get that because they asked. I guess they did a poll and they asked fans if they thought that the Raiders were that good at 5-3. And of course, they all said no. I said, well, of course, guys. Of course, they're going to say that. It's a rivalry. They don't like each other, especially fans. They don't like the teams. But in reality, this Raider team, especially on offense, is in a position to really get to a good spot. And we've been saying it all week, Q. All they got to do is repeat what they did in the first half. Go 10-6.
Exactly.
That's it.
You go 10-6, you're in the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And so that to me says a lot, but you're absolutely right. A Sunday, I really truly believe the only way they lose is by beating themselves. We'll ask now the sage of Los Angeles, of course, and that is Gangster Raider, who joins us by the phone. He's calling in today. What's up, Gangster Raider?
What up, though?
Hey, what's happening, y'all? It's me. And I just want to speak on everybody talking about this being a trap game. There's no way this could be a trap game because this is the Denver Broncos for the first time at the Black House. And we're undefeated in the AFC West, and we can stay undefeated in the AFC West because we beat a couple of AFC West opponents on the road, but this is the first AFC West opponent at the house. You know what I'm saying? So this cannot be a trap game. And it's the Denver Broncos. John Gruden hates the Denver Broncos just like I hate the Denver Broncos. And Booker used to play for them, so I know he's going to be up for the game. And there's no way this is a trap game. This is the first AFC West opponent at the Black House, and we're going to murderize them. This is not a trap game. And then we're going to also, this is going to be a statement game too, because Kansas City, they on the bye, so you know they're going to be watching the game. And I know they had a little bit of trouble with the Broncos, so if we go out and smash the Broncos after we already smashed them at home at their house, they're going to be scared to come to the Black House, and we're going to still be undefeated in the AFC West after they come there. Ain't no way this is a trap game. I'm pumped up, and I'm ready to go. Let's get it.
I love it. Gangster Raider is hyped up, man.
Man, he made me take a couple step backs.
Yeah.
And I get what he's saying, and I didn't really technically call it a trap game.
No.
I just think that you just got to be careful. And sometimes it is easy to look ahead, especially when it's a big game like Kansas City. And I know Denver is, you know, everything that Gangster Raider just said they are. But also the other thing that goes into this, Gangster Raider, my other point was they've been hearing a lot of praise. Every time you turn on TV, NFL Network, ESPN, you're hearing Rich Eisen, you're hearing Colin Cowherd, you're hearing guys who really don't matter say, hey, I think this Raider team is for real. So yeah, they're starting to hear their own press. Right. And sometimes it gets to you, even if you're trying not to allow it to get to you. Sometimes it's just natural.
Right. And not only that, but that's exactly what happened last year when they were 6-4.
Exactly.
So
then they got banged up.
Yeah.
And we all know they only won one game after that. And I think this team is much better than that team was last year. But at the same time, injuries happen, and we've seen it. The only thing is, like I said the other day on the Q-tip, this team is they're strong-minded. They're really focused when it comes to their mentals upstairs, man. They really are strong when it comes to that.
They are, absolutely. Good call, Gangster Raider. He was I think he had some.
Yeah, I like it. He had a lot of energy, man.
Some Mountain Dew.
I need to bottle that.
Mountain Dew or something, man. He must have pounded.
No, that was way more than Mountain Dew, man.
All right, we're going out on the phones again. Alan in Las Vegas. Alan, you're with Scott and Q. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? As chilling. A team, the Raiders have to focus on this Sunday. They can't look past it because, I mean, Denver, they are still in the thick of it. If we beat Denver, I think Denver might be done. We still have the Dolphins and the Browns right behind us, and I'm a little nervous about the Dolphins. They do play pretty gritty. And then we can keep pace with the Titans and with the Ravens. I'm going to go with the 24-34 Raiders Sunday.
34-24. That's close to Q's. Okay. That's pretty good.
All right.
I can see that.
Respect that.
All right. Alan, thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Good call, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, I think for the Raiders to score 30 points, I can see it because they could run up and down on that defense, get tired, and then you're going to open up the passing game a little more. Mm-hmm. I just think that this Raiders team, too, are going to give up some points. So I think you're 20 to 24 points because I think Drew Lock can throw the ball. But to your point earlier, Q, you got to take advantage of the miscues because he's going to have them.
He makes mistakes.
He makes mistakes all the time. Yeah.
He'll put the ball in harm's way It's just up to the defense to make them pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going back on the phone lines. We've got busy late. It's Ramon in Vegas. What's going on, Ramon?
Nice.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say Raiders will win. They will cover the spread. And we're looking at 30-21. Raiders!
I love it. There's Ramon.
Nice. Sound like he's walking across the bridge at the Coliseum after a big victory and is swaying and everyone's yelling, Raiders!
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. All right. We're going back out to SoCal now to Cisco. He's on the line. Cisco, you're on Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio. Cisco!
Come on, douchebag.
He's not there. He's not there. He's gone.
He's doing what you did to me.
Yeah.
Left me hanging.
Left you hanging. That's all right.
It's all right.
Again, we
Mo appreciated it. He said it was golden. He tweeted out, that was golden right there. Good job filling in that radio silence.
Hello? Am I there? Am I there?
Hey, what if I just started like popping off and saying some wild stuff just because I thought like I was disconnected or something?
No,
that would have been all bad.
But see, you're a true pro and you know whenever you're around a live mic, you just assume
that's
it's
right.
live.
Mic is always hot.
That's right. You got to love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So
that would have been funny though.
It would have been funny. But we talked about that the other day, like the fact that you and I had never slipped up and said a curse word
right.
on the air or anything like
nope.
that.
Won't do it.
Just won't do it. Doesn't enter my mind. Once I enter the studio, the language stays outside the room.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take our final break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by our good friend Michael Troiano. He's an attorney here in Las Vegas, criminal defense attorney. You can check him out at TroianoVegasLaw.com. Whether it's a simple DUI, which can, trust me, can ruin your life. You see stories all over the news about people who get a DUI. First of all, you should never drink and drive, so just don't do it. That's why you got Uber, you got Lyft, you got all these other services that you can take or call a friend to do that. But if you have that issue, you can check out Michael Troiano at TroianoVegasLaw.com. He can help you with that or more serious issues as they relate to the criminal realm. But we're going to talk to him about some new laws in Florida, man, that are really interesting. So we'll diverge a little bit from football there since we don't have a lot on the police blotter for the NFL. And we'll also get his thoughts on some football. So we'll talk football. We'll see if he's got a onesie. He's a new dad. he's a new dad, Q. So I mean, he might have one, you know?
Yeah, he might.
You never know. So we'll ask him about that. But that's coming up here as Q and Scott roll on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Hello? Anybody there?
Yes. 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 Yes.
If you've been listening, you get it. If you haven't, that's okay. We're about to roll on this Friday. Okay, Q. So you said you had 34-20.
Yeah, 34-20. Win by two touchdowns.
Okay, 34-20. And I'm thinking I'm going to go a little lower than that, though.
Okay.
I'm going to say 30-24.
Oh, man.
Closer than you
actually. This Price is Right me.
No.
That's all you did. You just Price is Right me.
30-24.
I'll go with $1.
No, I'm going based on the line.
Or 199.
Like, the game should
be 200.
JT was right in his show. The game should be about 5.5, the line.
Yeah, right? That's what it is right now.
Is it 5.5? Okay, so.
Yeah.
So to me, to put it at 6. I like the Raiders. I like them to cover 30-24.
I just like football, and I like what I see, and I think that they'll score 34 points,
roll.
And I think Denver will only score 20.
Nice. Oh boy! All right. Well, we go out. We go out
Lions
on
Lions be damned.
We go out on the newsmaker line. We bring in our good friend Michael Troiano, attorney Michael Troiano. You can catch him on at TroianoVegasLaw.com. And Michael, how you doing, man? How's your week going so far? And do you own a onesie?
It's been a very busy but productive week, so I'm happy Friday is here, and I'm gonna get ready to start my weekend. Last Halloween, as a new father, my wife decided for us that we had to dress in matching onesies that were camouflaged,
nice.
And
yes!
Our little beautiful daughter was dressed in a little bear cub, so she was our little capture. So, yeah, sadly, I own one.
You own one. Yes.
Nice.
I called it,
congratulations, man. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. And it was.
You're a good man.
I called it because you're a new dad. So.
Yep.
So, like, that to me made more sense because Q made a good case on why I would have one. Because we were talking about Vegas Wish, which is a charity in town at McKee Ranch. Tomorrow they're having a onesie movie party where they're taking blanket donations for the Las Vegas Rescue Mission. And so that's where the onesie came up. And Q said, I bet you have one. And he laid out his case. I said, actually, no, I don't. But I bet you Michael's got one because he's a new dad. I mean, like, it makes all the sense in the world. So thank you for that.
I respect that. Yes. I would never do it. But I respect it.
Okay, Michael, so we're going to diverge from football a little bit here, and we'll get back to football before we let you go. But I was looking through the news the other day, and I saw this thing pop up on NBC News about the Stand Your Ground in Florida could be expanded because the governor there has proposed a change to the law around anti-mob because of the unrest in the country and some of these riots that have gone on, not the peaceful protests, but the riots. First of all, let's start with it, because I think Nevada is a stand your ground state, is it not?
Yeah, we have the similar laws that mirror that you're allowed to protect yourself and you're not required to flee, if you will. They used to call it the castle doctrine back in the old English days, and that's where we Americans get our law from, is common law from England.
Yeah, and so I know this whole stand your ground thing has been controversial in several cases. You can go back to the Trayvon Martin case, all that stuff with people having the right to defend themselves. But sometimes it can be kind of a gray area. And now you have in Florida, they want to maybe expand this to anti-mob. What does this actually mean? And kind of what are they proposing? How would that change things for us, maybe even here like in Nevada, if we did something similar?
Well, the way that I'm understanding it, and it's everything's really early, so it's up for spin and interpretation, is I think this is a response to citizens and some government agencies being upset at certain mayors and certain police departments that either did on their own, which is stand down and not protect businesses, or did so, like, for example, Portland, Oregon is just an absolute mess, and they are... The mayor out there is basically stripping the police force from doing their job and protecting local citizens as well as businesses. So this is what it sounds like is the response. They're trying to codify and put into law more specific protections so that citizens can protect their businesses as well, or maybe somebody else's. That's generally where I believe this is going and the response to those previous issues.
Again, we're with attorney Michael Troiano here. You can check him out, TroianoVegasLaw.com. And Michael, this one is interesting to me because those that are opposed to it are saying, look, you're possibly setting up a situation where a change like this could create more violence. There's also some people worried about some maybe racial overtones to it and whatnot, because it defines looting as something, I think, like committing burglary within 500 feet of a violent assembly or something like that. Do you think this kind of stuff, we're going to see more of it, or do you think that this is maybe just sort of a reaction to get people to talk about it and to realize that there's some things going on here that have to be fixed? Or do you think that this could be something we could see more across the country?
I certainly think it's a good conversation starter, because as they say, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Me personally, being born and raised Nevadan, I'm all about gun rights. I've got my CCW. I fully support having guns in the hands of the right people. But that being said, it does make me fearful that it's going to incentivize or put people in a situation where they feel that they should be stepping in and doing law enforcement's job. And as a business owner, I would be heartbroken to see, my business attacked or burned. And so I feel for those people. But at the same time, I still believe that is a police function, that they should be the ones stepping in. But if it's your life and your liberty, sometimes people are going to step up, and it's going to turn into a problem for, you know, those looters.
Yeah, and we saw that. I mean, I mentioned earlier the Trayvon Martin situation and how Stand Your Ground was used in that case. And I think that that conversation never happened because people, the way it happened, it appeared, and from what the testimony was, that people were trying to enforce the law themselves, when that's not the job of the citizen. The job of the citizen is to protect themselves, where the job of law enforcement, and you just said that. So just a really fascinating case, and I wanted to tap into your expertise just because I saw it, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. Now, going back to football, how surprised are you of the Raiders at 5-3? You think they're for real as a playoff team?
Let me just go back to that real quick, because you do have me on for the law. I apologize. But
that's
okay. I think for your listeners out there, when you talk about the Trayvon Martin situation, no matter how you feel about that verdict, although it comes from the same issues as supposedly a Stand Your Ground, this situation, the way that I read it in response to these looters and riots, because obviously Trayvon was not looting or rioting, that's not even close. I would say this is a lot more similar to the reaction of like the 92 LA riots and you know, business owners defending their business fronts and things of that nature. So although it both can be argued Stand Your Ground, I think that they're particularly trying to go more so after the protection of businesses and homes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Absolutely. Okay, so the Raiders, are you surprised? Do you think they're for real?
I mean, I don't know if surprise is the right word. I was hoping for a good year, especially coming to a new home, obviously under much different circumstances. But, you know, they're putting it together. It's nice to see Carr just really step up and be that leader that he should be as a starting quarterback. I know a couple years ago, at one season, he was, you know, in some MVP talks, and again, it's no secret, born and raised as a Steelers fan. Prior to, you know, gearing up to the Raiders moving to Vegas, I didn't really know much about David Carr, but I've like listened to his interviews, the way he talks. He's a really commanding presence, and I'm sure you guys have been in the room with him now at this point. So I was really impressed just to see how he is with the media, and I imagine that translates to his teammates, and now we're seeing the product on the field, and hopefully his consistent play is what continues them towards that playoff berth.
Derek Carr, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Carr.
excuse me. I remember David from my Mountain West days of the
Fresno State.
My apologies.
Yeah, Fresno State. Absolutely.
My apologies.
That's funny. But back.
I've watched both brothers play.
There you go.
He gets that all the time too.
Constantly. Well, and because they're both D's too, so it's like, hey, but
throw some D's on them.
But back to the law in the NFL. So I joked when you came on and earlier in the show that with COVID and these players really staying close to home and all this stuff, you've seen, and of course the Raiders over the last several years, you know, thank goodness because their organization is what it is, you haven't had their guys get in a lot of trouble. But this whole NFL police blotter thing, you've seen players overall get in less trouble because I think we're all in the same boat, right? So there's less opportunity to get in trouble?
I mean, if anything's a positive out of this whole mess, I think that's good for the players and the organization, because these are grown men, but you know, you give a 21-year-old, 22-year-old a couple million dollars, you know, I know I probably wouldn't have acted in the best, my actions definitely would have been a little bit scattered all over the place if you threw a couple million at me in my early 20s. So it's nice to see, you know, these players staying home, following the safety protocols. And when we eventually get back to normal, whenever that is, hopefully some of that discipline can continue on in their careers in their lives, because it's so many of these arrests are just so unnecessary, especially when you talk about DUIs, the amount of money these players to make and not to get a service to drive them or their own personal driver, just it's insanity.
Yeah.
Michael, let me ask you real quick, because Antonio Brown is obviously back in the league playing with Tampa Bay, but he's still got a pending civil case. That's all just going to boil down to money at the end of the day, right?
It all boils down to money. But yes,
that's true.
On the civil side, that's going to be a money issue. And I don't know if you guys touched on this earlier, but I was surprised to see that Arians is denying that Tom Brady had anything to do with Antonio coming over there. Like, I wonder why coaches, I don't say lie, but why they represent things completely different than what we all know to be the truth. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's
no doubt.
It's crazy. Michael Troiano, attorney Michael Troiano, check him out, TroianoVegasLaw.com. You can also call 702-843-5500, criminal defense attorney, anything from DUI to more serious. Michael, thanks, my friend. We appreciate it so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, there you go, Michael Troiano.
You too, brother.
TroianoVegasLaw.com. There you go.
There you go.
You got a lawyer if you need it. He's there.
He's got a onesie.
Now, does he go to court in the onesie? Now, of course, we transition.
Man. He better not. He better not go to court in a onesie. No. Have you ever seen People versus Larry Flint?
Yes.
You better not go to court in a onesie.
Isn't a judge's gown sort of like a onesie?
No. Not. I would never say that because there might be a judge listening.
Now we bring on a guy I know does not own the onesie. And that is Vinny Bonsignor, who joins us now for the end of the show. Vinny, you don't have a onesie, right?
I do not have a onesie, no.
Okay. No. You're not a onesie guy. I just don't see that happening.
No.
He wouldn't do that if the wife and kids begged him to do it. Right. He's like me.
Yeah.
No, it's not my bag.
Exactly.
He'd walk out of the room. He'd just walk out of the room.
That's right.
So, Vinny, just to kind of recap the day, we got the injury report. Colton Miller obviously not going to play, it looks like. What else are you hearing from the team over there as far as the availability? Gabe Jackson was a surprise there, and that's a concerning one.
Yeah, if he can't go, that just sets the offensive line back even further. And just wrote a story about Tom Cable today. And, you know, all the various line combinations, it's almost like the Rubik's Cube, trying to figure it all out and keep track of it. Yet they haven't, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that they've played perfectly by any stretch of the imagination, but it hasn't been a major fall off, like a detrimental fall off in the offensive line. The Raiders are, you know, within good standing on their run game. They've given up 14 sacks, I think, which is ninth or 10th, you know, fewest in the league or somewhere around there. They're throwing the ball well. So somehow, some way, Tom Cable has been able to get this group, whatever the group might be on any given day or any given snap, really, to play pretty well. And that's a credit to Tom Cable. It's a credit to the players, you know, that Mike Mayock and John Gruden have brought in. But, yeah, if Gabe can't go, that's a huge loss right there. He's playing as well as any guard in the league.
Vinny, I'm going to totally throw a curveball at you, but I know you can handle this. The Marlins, they hired Kim Ng as the GM, first female GM. She's been in the league, dealing with the league for over 30-plus years and a lot of time with the Dodgers. One, are you familiar with her?
Yes, absolutely.
And how big a game-breaker is this that she's getting this opportunity?
It's long overdue. Everybody in baseball you know, has the utmost respect for Kim. She's tremendous at what she does. It should have happened you know, long ago. She also worked for the New York Mets, the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Yankees, I believe. And now, you know, now the Marlins as the general manager. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a few more years she's the president of a baseball operations. She's that good. So, and has a lot of, you know, you look at the Dodgers and even when she was there, a lot of the players that are not a lot, but there's still a few players left over from her regime that are playing really well for the Dodgers. So it speaks to her talent, and I'm very, very happy for her. It's long overdue.
Yeah, very cool. And I mean, that's what we're starting to see too, as we saw it in the NFL with referees and we started to see with coaches. I think that's only going to happen more because you have to be valued based on your skill set. It doesn't matter where you come from, what color you are, what gender you are. And we're starting to finally see that permeate into sports and baseball. That's a big domino to fall. Like you said, it should have happened a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We're still not there. Still have actually a long way to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, glass ceilings are being broken as we speak, and the more that happens, the more normal this will become, and the less you know, celebratory it'll become. We'll always be happy that it does happen, but it won't have, you know, this type of reaction. It'll just be the normal course of things.
Right. Vinny, what do you got coming up with Lincoln next on In the Huddle?
Just a lot to talk about. Obviously, this big game against the Broncos. We got the Kansas City Chiefs coming up next week. The Raiders can ill afford to look ahead. The Colts won yesterday. That was a big win for the Colts in terms of the wild card chase. So the Raiders, I've been saying this for a long time. Yes, it's great and noble and still within reason and possible to chase down the Chiefs. But the more realistic postseason path for the Raiders is the wild card. And they have to make sure that they stay and keep pace with the Colts, with the Dolphins, with the Browns, with the Baltimore Ravens, for that matter. So, you know, just watch what happened yesterday with the Colts coming into town and beating the Tennessee Titans, an upset, if you want to call it that. But the Raiders have to stay pace right now, and they do that by beating the Denver Broncos, not overlooking the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and I just don't think they will.
I don't think so either.
Again, Q and I said earlier, Vinny, the Raiders, to me, the only way they get beat is if they beat themselves.
And they're in no position to overlook anybody. What have they accomplished?
Of course,
nothing.
Exactly.
And
right.
so they're still on the hunt.
That's right.
And I think that everyone would appreciate a nice easy blowout win. And I want to see that happen at some point.
Be nice you could get an early start on your story.
There you go.
That's right. All right, Vinny Bonsignore coming up next with Lincoln Kennedy in the huddle here on Raider Nation Radio. For Q Myers, I am Scott Gilbranson, Bobby Machado, making it all happen here on Silver and Black today. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.